So the year is 2001. It's probably around June or July, and school is just about to start back up. And I think a lot of you guys, when you were in grade school, maybe even all the way into high school, when you got to the end of summer, you started to get ready for school. Your parents were like, okay, we need to get new clothes. We need to go get the school supplies. And one thing that we always did every year was we went and got new shoes. That was something that we did as a family. And I think I was around the fourth grade in 2001, maybe fifth grade. And that's around the time that kids start to notice like how they're dressed, like what they're wearing, maybe shoes. Some of the parents might be nodding their head like, yes, my kid's starting to want to have an opinion on what they want to wear. They start to notice what their friends are wearing, and that was around the time that I started noticing what my buddies were wearing. And I remember my friend coming home with these new shoes on, and this is the very first time I was like, ooh, those are nice. And I remember to this day what it was. It was a Reebok shoe, and it was called Allen Iverson The Answer 6. I don't know how many of you guys remember that shoe. It was a terrible shoe. But what it was this all-white shoe. There was no stitching on it. It was this smooth. It had Iverson pressed in on the side. It had a 6 on it. And I somehow convinced my mom and dad to purchased these shoes for me. They were very expensive for like a fourth grader. I was like, I really wanted and for some reason I thought they were going to make me cooler. I thought that they were going to make me play basketball better. I have no idea what I was thinking. But what nobody knew about these shoes when they purchased them, it was a very popular shoe for a very short time, is that they were awful. Like what happened is there was no like holes or mesh in it, so your feet just started sweating ridiculously in these shoes. And because like it got so hot, like they started cracking after like a week. And then if they got wet, like if you stepped in water, if it rained, like the fake leather that they were would start peeling away. And I remember being absolutely devastated. I was like, my new shoes, they're awful. And I like told my parents, and I was like, I don't want to wear these anymore because they look terrible. And my mom's like, got real mad at me. She goes, well, you're just going to have to wear your old shoes then. And like my old shoes had like no sole. Like my heel was like touching the ground like from the sock. And there's like a big hole in the top. And that was my punishment for doing that. And I thought that thing was going to give me so much pleasure in my life. I thought these shoes were just going to give me everything. But they were the exact opposite, what turned out. Today we're going to talk about false pleasures, and our main thing today is all that glitters isn't God. See, in the series we have been talking about the battle between God and Satan, the truth of God and Satan, and every single one of us struggle with that every day, but it's very easy to tell what is in the center of your life. What Satan wants you to do is he wants you to put you in the center. He wants every decision that you want, every conversation, every penny that you spend, every time that you spend, every website that you go to. He wants everything to be centered around you. See, Satan's main goal is this. It is to absolutely ruin your life. Satan knows that if he does it right, he will ruin you forever. John 10:10 says this, the first part of John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He uses our surroundings and the ideas and our freedoms of this, especially our country, to take to his advantages. He comes to you and he says, don't worry about it, you can do it, come on, you can do it, I promise you it'll be all right, because all he wants is for you to be in the center of your life. See, one of my internships, quite a few years ago, I did a Bluegrass Christian camp, and if you know anything about that camp, Adam Tipton and his family currently serve there on staff, and that's where I got to know Adam really, really well, and John and all the staff. But one thing that we did, we played this game. I guess it's a game. Kind of an experience. It was called Walk the Line. And what we would do is I did it with middle schoolers, and we put them all the way down at the bottom part of camp. And there's a bottom part and there's a top part, and we would blindfold them. And we would get them into their squads, into their small groups, and they would hold hands. And we would lead them all the way up to the top of this camp completely blindfolded because they didn't really know where they were. And what the goal was for them as a group or individual to get to the end of these ropes, which would be heaven. So we put them on the rope and we say, all right, go ahead. Now, the other thing that was going against them was two groups of people. This is what the counselors like live for. There were one group which was the people of heaven, angels, maybe the Jesus characters, and they would do their best to lead them in the right direction so that they would finish this game. And the other group were the demons or the people who would try to lead them away from this group. And Adam Tipton was always a demon. And he would love it. Man, he would take these kids like a mile away from the game and like make them like hop over things that weren't there and like crawl under things that weren't there. He probably has 1,000 stories. But for that summer, I was also a demon. And what I would do, and I got pretty good at it. So these kids are in a line like holding like this. They can't see. And we're in the middle of a field. There's trees everywhere. There's long grass. And what I would wait for is for them to disconnect with the person in front of them. And right when that would happen, you know, there's trees everywhere, there's bugs, so they're eventually, you know, wipe their head, you know, brush off their leg or something. As soon as that would happen, I would step right in front of them so they could not move. And it happened every single time. They would look at me and they would say, or they would be in my direction, they couldn't see me. And they would say, who is this? And I would say, hey, follow me, I have an easier way. And if they told me to go away, like, okay, and I'd go away. And as soon as they let go again, I would jump right back in front of them, like, hey, follow me. I got a quicker way. This is taking way too long. And every single time, eventually, they would follow me, and I would take them in. At Bluegrass, there's this massive field. And I would take them to that massive field. And I would, the whole time, like, hey, come with me. Come with me. I have an easier way. I have a faster way. It's going to be faster. We don't even have to play this game anymore. And I would bring them to this middle of this field, and I would just leave them there. And I'd walk away. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When you read the scripture, you don't see Satan as somebody who just attacks and keeps on attacking and just keeps on going and keeps on going. No, you see it like a lion where he prowls around and watches his prey for the perfect opportunity to ruin your life. See, Satan's goal is to ruin your life, and it doesn't matter if he ruins your life at 24 or he ruins your life at 70, he will wait until the absolute perfect moment to make that happen. See, what Satan does is kind of like that clip that we showed earlier, it's kind of like fishing. What he does is he gets out the fishing rod and he throws out the bait, and he just waits for it, and he waits for it, and as soon as we take it, he doesn't pull back right away. He waits for the hook to set. He waits for that thing that we're doing to set into our lives. He waits for it to be a thing that we continually go back to. And as soon as he thinks it's the right opportune moment, he pulls back, and we have to follow because at that point it is a part of our lives. It is a part, just like fishing is a part of the fish. And I have 5 things that Satan will try to do to convince you that his truth is better than the opposite, which is God's truth. And these are 5 things. The first one is this: no one will know. What Satan will do is he will tell you, look, nobody know. You can go to that party. Look, you can go to that website. Look, nobody's around. You don't know anybody there. Look, nobody will know. The second thing that he will convince you of is it's only this one time. So what Satan will do is he will convince you that what you want to do, it's like, look, you just have to do it once. It's okay. Just go ahead and do it. Experience it. That's what we want to do, is just go ahead and experience it. And maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. The third thing that he will do is everyone else is doing it. What he will convince you of is just because everyone and all your peers are doing it, all of your friends are doing it, he's like, oh, just because everybody else is doing it, why don't you go ahead and do it? It's okay. Just because it must be okay because everybody else is doing it, right? The fourth thing that he will do is say, it won't cost you anything. He's like, go ahead and do it. It won't hurt you. It won't stay with you for a long time. You can go ahead. You can take that drink. You can use that drug. It's okay. It won't hurt you. It's just fun. Don't worry about it. The last thing that he will do is say this: you can stop at any moment. He's like, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. It's okay. You can stop. You're in control of your own body. It's okay. Plenty of people have got out of it. I promise you, there's plenty of success stories where they're just like, I just don't want to do it anymore, and they walk away. Don't worry, you can stop at any moment. But, luckily there is an opposite side to this entire story. As you could tell, I hope you could tell, I didn't read the end of that scripture, and I did not tell the end of that story, I promise, where I left that kid in the middle of a field. John 10:10, the end of it says this, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest." Luckily, there's another side that's more powerful, more joyful than the other. There is freedom, redemption, love, acceptance, forgiveness, and everlasting life on the other side. What God wants is he doesn't think about what's going on right now. He thinks about the future. And he thinks about what's more important right now in yourself. Or he's like, no, I have something so much more for you later. Titus 3:3-7 says this, "At one time we were too foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of our righteous things, we have done, but because of his mercy. He saves us through the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom we pour out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." See, God never wants to think about the here and now. I know things here and now might be difficult, but he set out a plan so that we can be with him for eternity. See, some of you guys might have thought that story where I left like the kids in the middle of the field, they're like, "Oh my gosh, he's the youth minister. Like, he might do that to my kid." Well, I might do it to your kid, but I didn't just leave him there. I left him there for maybe like a minute, maybe two, you know, let him sweat it out a little bit. And what I would do is, I'm going to ask the band to come back up, please. What I would do is I would go get one of the Jesus characters, or the people who are playing the heavenly characters. And I would try to convince them, like, "Hey, let's go to these people in the middle of the field. And let's talk scripture to them. Let's read scripture to them and the promises that Jesus has for them." So what we would do, we'd go to them and we would talk and we would open up our Bibles and we would read scripture to them to lead them back to heaven. And afterwards, we'd have a fantastic conversation with those kids and be like, "Look, I know that was hard, but what we need to understand is that the promises of Jesus is so much better. The easiness and the here and now isn't what you want to look forward. You want to look forward to eternity, because if we look towards eternity, we will always go towards Jesus." Some of you guys have been stuck in the middle of that field for a long time. And some of you guys are on your way towards that field where you're taking the easy path. Satan's saying, like, "Hey, come do this. It's easy. It'll be really fast. Don't worry about it." If you're in that position, I encourage you to come talk with us. We have 4 people on staff. We have many elders that you can come talk to. If you're in a community group, talk to your community group leader about this. I really think that if we focus on Jesus fully, this church will absolutely be amazing. We'll have more stories like William up here saying he's going to be adopted. What I want to do is I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for myself. I want to pray for the band. I want to pray for you guys. That we continue to focus on Jesus, that we don't focus on the pleasures of this earth and the things that Satan wants us to do, but we focus only on Jesus. Let me pray for you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for this day, where we get to come and we get to worship you, we get to have a lot of fun singing songs, and I just want to thank you so much for the kids, where they're going to bless us later. But God, I want you to pull on our hearts towards you. And I want you to put people in our lives that turn our shoulders only towards you so that we can only serve you. God, Satan comes in our life and tries to convince us of so many different things, but God, we know that your way is the only way. God, thank you so much for Jesus, because without him and his amazing grace, we would not be here right now. God, thank you so much. Ask us all in your son's name. Amen.